he commanded, his voice firm. Look at yourself and tell me what you see. I sighed, but let my eyes fall from his to my own. They were a dull brown, no life sparkling behind them. My skin was oily, my face bland without any makeup on, and my dark blonde hair was lying almost pinned straight over my shoulders. I swallowed as I let my eyes fall further. It wasn't that I didn't ever look in a mirror. I saw myself in the gym mirrors and when I was anywhere in public, but I never studied myself in this way. I could see that I'd lost weight, but I was still far from looking anything like Willow or Shay. I had curves. I had large breasts, thick thighs, and big hips. I see everything I still need to work on and everything I don't want to see when I look in the mirror 5 years from now. Rhodes breathed heavily behind me, but he didn't say anything. I watched his face in the mirror and saw a mixture of emotions cross it, from pain to confusion and everything in between. Slowly, he moved to my left, staring intently at me as I still faced the mirror. Show me. The way he said those two words made me shiver. He commanded attention. He always did. Show you what? Rhodes swallowed, stepping a little closer. Show me what you hate. I let out a shaky breath, my eyes roaming all the imperfections of my body. Well, my stomach. Show me, Rhodes interrupted. Don't tell me. Show me. Swallowing, I lifted my hands from where they rested at my sides and gently touched my stomach. I knew it was smaller than just a few weeks before, but it was still thick. There was still a roll when I sat down, and I had muffin tops that fell over my tiny shorts. Lift your arms. I looked at Rhodes questioningly, but the way he stared back, his eyes intense and determined, I didn't question him out loud. I lifted my arms above my head and waited. Rhodes' throat constricted, and he seemed to be battling with what he was about to do, but before I had the chance to think more of it, he grabbed the hem of my shirt and carefully pulled it up and over my head. My heart accelerated from a slow trot to a full-throttled gallop. He was stripping me. Rhodes was stripping off my clothes. Slowly, he bent to his knees and glanced up at me. I could never forget the way he looked kneeling below me, vulnerable yet still so strong. He pulled his eyes from mine long enough to wrap his large hands around my waist and press his lips gently to my stomach. And I remember it hurt the first time he touched me. Not because it was painful, but because it was everything but. It hurt from somewhere deep inside my gut that told me I would never get to have him, to keep him, or to feel the way I felt with his hands on me with anyone else for as long as I tried. Where else? His eyes were lifted to mine, and though my heart was still racing, I somehow managed to move my arm to touch the upper part of my opposite arm. Rhodes stood, grabbed my hand in his to straighten my arm, and then kissed where I had just touched. I was catching on. My breaths were ragged, but I moved my hand to the next area without him asking. I didn't know if I was supposed to be looking in the mirror, but I couldn't pull my eyes from the sight of him. He bent and moved with each new place I touched, following it with a sensual kiss. My breath caught in my throat as I touched my inner thighs. I couldn't believe that I was doing this, that I was standing in front of a mirror practically naked with Rhodes touching me in ways I'd never imagined. He licked his lips before falling back to his knees and tucking his fingertips into the band of my shorts. I gasped at the touch, and he inched the fabric off my hips slowly before letting them drop to the floor. I was standing in front of Rhodes in nothing but my bra and panties, and though I felt like squirming, hiding, or running away, the weight of his gaze held me locked in place. His eyes flicked to mine, and he kept them there as he leaned in to press his lips to my left thigh. I couldn't help it. I moaned low under my breath, and he gripped the back of my legs tighter as his lips moved to the other thigh. When he looked back up at me, waiting for the next direction, I swallowed. I knew it was a bold move, but I felt alive in that moment, completely unstoppable. With shaking fingertips, I reached up and just barely touched my lips. Rhodes lifted himself from the ground, towering over me once again. I could see how I was affecting him through the thin fabric of his gym shorts, and my breaths came harder. I was turning him on. It seemed impossible, and yet it was true, which only fueled my confidence. You hate your lips? I didn't answer. I didn't hate my lips. In fact, they were probably what I loved most about my body. They were plump, a deep pink, and I religiously used lip balm to keep them soft. Rhodes knew we'd moved past touching what I hated about my body. I wanted him to kiss me. I didn't know if I should want that, if I could even allow myself to want it, but I didn't fight it in that moment. I just waited. Rhodes bit the inside of his bottom lip, his brows pulled down low over his bright emerald eyes. They flicked to my mouth and back to my eyes several times, as if he was debating the same thoughts I had just had.
"Natalie,"
he warned, but at the same time his hands moved to cradle my face between them. My lips parted and I let my eyes fall to his. I desperately wanted to taste him. "Rhodes," I breathed back, my hands finding his waist. I let them rest there, still waiting. Rhodes expelled a breath, shook his head just barely enough for me to notice, and then closed the space between us. Heat is never a sign of something good. It's an indicator that you're burning, a symptom of infection, a side effect of fever. But the heat I felt when Rhodes touched me, when he kissed me, was the best sensation. It was white hot and electrifying. It seared my skin and blazed through every inch of my body. It burned me. It scarred me, but I loved it. My hands fisted in his t-shirt as he deepened the kiss. His tongue slipped inside to massage mine, and I moaned into his mouth, making the erection in his shorts grow even more noticeable. Hastily, he pulled me back onto the guest bed, and we fell into the soft goose-down comforter, the fabric swallowing us like a cloud. Rhodes' hands explored my body as he kissed me. He sucked my bottom lip between his teeth before moving to my neck and across my collarbone. I was breathing so hard I was sure I'd hyperventilate. I'd never experienced a kiss so passionate, so laced with desire. His hand was rough, calloused from the weight bars as he dragged it down my neck, over my breast, across my stomach, and finally rested just above the hem of my panties. I squirmed beneath his touch, anxious to feel his hand just a fraction lower. Rhodes sighed, stilling his movements and resting his forehead against mine.
"There's so much I want to do to you, Bug. I'm fighting against it right now."
"Don't," I breathed.
"You don't understand."
I ran my fingers through his hair and pulled him closer, kissing him with more confidence than I knew I had. "So help me understand." He groaned against my lips and I could feel him pressed against my thigh. He was so hard, so ready, and I was physically uncomfortable waiting for him to deliver.
"Not tonight," he finally said, sighing. "Tonight is about you seeing that you're beautiful. Do you hear me?"
He waited for me to lift my eyes to his. Suddenly, the confidence I had before was completely gone.
"You are, Natalie."
I nodded, but I wasn't sure I really believed his words. I was cute, maybe, and even that was pushing it. But when Rhodes brought his lips back down on mine and kissed me like it pained him not to, I thought maybe there was something he saw that I just didn't. We stayed tangled in the sheets for hours, but all we did was kiss. His hands explored my body and I explored his. He never stripped down with me, and I never reached to pull my clothes back on. We buried ourselves under the sheets, making us a hot, sweaty mixture of lips, breaths, and moans. Now I understood what he meant when he said, "or what," earlier, because this was far from how you treated someone who was just a friend. Sometime around midnight, Rhodes paused.
"I should go."
I was breathless, cheeks heated, hair a mess as I stared up at him. I didn't want him to go, but I couldn't ask him to stay. Not when he'd already given me so much that night. "Okay, let me walk you out." After I dressed and fixed my hair back into a bun the best I could, I walked him to the front door, mind racing. I had so many questions, but none of them would form on my tongue. "I wish you didn't have to go." He smiled a lazy smile, his hair still mussed from our activities.
"You'll see me Thursday."
My heart sank. In a way, he was telling me that I wouldn't see him on my day off from training tomorrow. When he noticed my face fall, he pulled me into him for a long, soft kiss, sliding his index finger to rest on the inside of my wrist like he had the first time he told me he felt my heart. It was an unspoken promise, but he broke away too quickly for my liking and jogged off to his bike.
It took him less than a minute to fasten his helmet, and then he was gone. I closed the door in a daze. I felt numb, yet every nerve in my body had been awakened. I stumbled to the couch and fell against the cool leather cushions, though they did nothing to stunt the heat growing inside of me. I could still feel Rhodes pressed against me. I could feel his lips on mine. Something deep in my gut told me I should be scared, that I should worry about what was happening between us. And, though I wanted to ignore it, a small part of me thought of Mason in that moment. I thought of how different it was to kiss him, and wondered what he would feel if he knew another man had kissed me the way Rhodes just had. A smile spread across my face, and I covered my eyes with my hands, letting out a short squeal. I refused to overthink it. At the end of the day, no matter what was to come, I had enjoyed it. It was the best damn kiss of my life. Chapter 12. I was a mess the next day. I felt elated, but mostly sick, and I barely ate, which was a new sensation for me since I usually turned to eating when I was overly emotional. When I was with Rhodes the night before, everything felt right. But the moment he left, the uneasiness set in. I second-guessed everything, wondering what version of Rhodes I would get the next time I saw him. The more I thought about how quickly he had left the night before, the more worried I became. Was he going to be with another woman? A client? The thought crippled me, which also terrified me because I felt so intensely for him in just a short span of time. And what if he was just trying to get away from me? What if he changed his mind? What if he didn't want me the way I wanted him? I watched episodes of Lost and worried myself with questions I couldn't answer the entire day. Somehow, the euphoria I'd felt after his lips left mine the night before was replaced by the sickening realization that it could have meant nothing. I had a pit in my heart that told me I would walk into the gym the next day and he would be gone. Or worse, there, but not in the way I wanted him to be. Then, just as those feelings would take over, I would sit up in shock at the fact that I wanted him. I wanted Rhodes. I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted from him, but I knew it was more than just a training session at the gym 5 days a week. Mason was still in my head, too, which only complicated things. I was a mess, and without my mom or Willow to talk to, I was sure I'd go mad. Dressing in one of the new workout outfits Mom and I had purchased, I tried to hold my chin high as I strode into the country club that Thursday. I saw him before he saw me. He was lying on a weightlifting bench, his strong legs braced on either side, the muscles of his arms tightening and releasing as he bench-pressed more than I weighed. No one was spotting him, but he made it look so effortless, as if he didn't need help and never would. I wondered if that were true in many aspects of his life. After a few more reps, he set the bar back into place and sat up slowly, wiping his brow with the same white towel he always had with him. He tucked it back into the back band of his shorts, and then his emerald eyes were on me. I couldn't breathe. I waited for him to frown or curse or roll his eyes or shake his head. I waited for him to order me to a treadmill or ask what the hell I was doing wasting training time just staring at him like an idiot. All of those things I expected. But Rhodes just smiled. That smile lifted the pressure from my chest, and I inhaled it like it was my first breath. It hadn't been a dream. It was real. It was all real. Rhodes' eyes stayed fixed on mine as he crossed the room to where I was standing. He crossed his arms, legs spread shoulder wide in a confident stance.
"Really?"
he asked, shaking his head. His eyes trailed from my own to take in my full appearance.
"You chose today to wear shorts for the first time?"
I glanced down at the tighter-than-preferred black shorts my mom had convinced me to buy. My legs were getting toned, and I had to admit, the squats were paying off nicely in the glutes area. But I knew I was far from looking like other girls at the club. Eyeing Rhodes through my lashes, I tucked a loose strand of hair behind my ear. "I look stupid, don't I?" His smile fell.
"Hardly."
Rhodes looked around the room, as if it wasn't safe for us to speak, then he nodded toward the back office.
"Come on, let's check your numbers."
I frowned. "But it's only Thursday." He gave me a pointed look that told me not to ask any more questions before leading me back.
Once the door was closed behind us, he motioned to the scale and I stepped up. Rhodes sidled up beside me, looking at the numbers on the scale that I refused to acknowledge. I just looked at him instead.
Did you forget everything I said to you the other night?
I laughed, but Rhodes didn't. I don't think I'll ever forget anything about that night. I blushed at the admission, but Rhodes just offered a soft smile. He leaned in closer but paused, resting his hand on my lower back so lightly I thought I might be imagining it.
You are beautiful, Natalie,
he whispered. A chill sparked where his hand touched my skin and traveled in all directions until it covered my entire body.
I can't touch you the way I want to while we're here, the way I did 2 nights ago to show you that. So I need you to start believing it.
I nodded, though I was far from believing I was beautiful. Rhodes clearly had on goggles I wasn't yet accustomed to. Still, hearing his words, I wanted to believe him. I wanted to feel beautiful. Rhodes cleared his throat and removed his hand quickly.
Good. Come on, we have work to do. Only 2 more workouts until weigh-in day.
He didn't tell me what the numbers were on the scale, and I was grateful. The rest of my life was such a mess. I needed something scheduled, something reliable and stable. Weigh-in day was Sunday. I needed that to look forward to and dread all at the same time. Rhodes worked me just as hard that day as he usually did. It almost felt normal, except his hands touched me more. His eyes almost never left me, and the energy between us caught fire. When our session ended and I all but limped to my gym bag, I waited for Rhodes' next move. I half expected him to dismiss me like usual, but the other half of me was anxiously awaiting something, anything that meant I wouldn't have to say goodbye yet. Rhodes held his hand up for a high five, and it took more energy than I cared to admit to meet his hand with my own.
Nice job today. See you same time tomorrow.
I was smiling, but I couldn't help the disappointment I felt when I realized the first half of me was correct. Okay. He grinned a sexy, not-safe-for-the-gym grin and then turned toward the men's locker room. It was when his hand left mine that I realized he'd replaced it with a small, folded piece of notebook paper.
Dinner. My place. 8 o'clock. Bring your camera.
Biting my lower lip, I shoved the note into my bag and made my way out of the gym. The workout was over, but the heart rate on my watch display only climbed higher. It took 8 words to send my body into overdrive. Just 8 words scribbled on an off-white sheet of paper. Rhodes was better cardio than a marathon.
Did you bring your camera?
Rhodes asked as he hand-washed our dishes from dinner. I was full and sore and exhausted, but being with Rhodes somehow made me feel like I could run miles. Nodding, I slid up next to him, grabbing the soft blue towel hanging from the oven and using it to dry each dish as he finished. I did. Why?
Do you have the photos you took at the fair still on it?
Yes. I said the word almost as a question. He nodded.
Go grab it.
Rhodes took the last dish from my hands and finished drying it before dabbing his own hands on the towel and following me over to the couch. He fell down onto it easily, propping his feet on the table as I rummaged through my bag for my camera. When I had it powered on and pulled up the photos he referenced, I sat down carefully on the middle cushion of the small couch. Though I wasn't hugging the opposite arm like usual, I was still too nervous to sit too close to Rhodes. I felt like he was a caged animal. One wrong move might send him running or cause him to attack. I wasn't sure which was worse. But as soon as I sat, Rhodes pulled me into him, wrapping his arm around my shoulder. I stiffened before easing into him, focusing on my breaths. He was dressed in relaxed sleep pants and another Paxton High School weightlifting t-shirt. His hair was still damp from a shower, mussed and sexy. He was always so sexy. Am I just now noticing that or just now admitting it?
Show me the photos you took that night.
I hate all of them, just so you know, I prefaced, scrolling through the photos with him looking over my shoulder. I couldn't capture what it felt like to be there. Rhodes studied each photo carefully, stopping me if I scrolled through too quickly. When we reached the end, I watched his face with curiosity. His brows were furrowed, his eyes contemplative.
You don't feel in control of your life.
He said the words as a statement, not as a question, so I didn't answer. I kept my eyes fixed on his, though suddenly it was difficult to swallow.
looking at the pictures on your wall and those you just showed me, there's so much control in the shot. It's almost too by the book, like photography is the only thing you think you can fully control and follow like a manual to figure out. His words hit me square in the gut, and I had to fight the urge to double over from the weight of them.
It's not that you don't shoot beautiful photos because you do, he clarified, sitting up straighter.
His arm left my shoulder in the process, and I reached out to touch his leg, desperate to be connected.
But I see what you don't see, Natalie. I see the beauty in the imperfections of the world. I think you need to look a little closer.
My breaths were loud, my voice hoarse. You don't see the beauty in you. Rhodes' face hardened and he pulled away from my grasp, propping his elbows on his knees and clasping his hands together. He stared forward at the television, though it wasn't powered on.
There's nothing beautiful about me.
My heart ached and I reached for him once more. He flinched when my fingers found his back and he remained still, almost statuesque as I trailed them lightly up, until I found his neck, his hair, and I pulled him close. You told me I had to start believing I was beautiful, I said, louder than before but still just above a whisper. If I do, then you do too. Pressing his forehead to mine, Rhodes shook his head slightly.
I'm not like you, Natalie. Can't you see that?
He exhaled, the air leaving his lungs and reviving my own.
I stayed away from you for so long because I know who I am. I know what I'm capable of.
He pulled back, his intense eyes locking on my own.
We both know I'm going to hurt you. It's one of the reasons we avoided this for so long. Admit it, he said, swallowing. You know I'm not good for you.
I chewed my bottom lip, blindly thumbing at the settings on my camera until I knew they were where I wanted them. His assessment couldn't be farther from the truth, in my mind at least. He was maybe the only good thing in my life that summer. Slowly, I lifted the camera and snapped one single photo. It was close, too close to focus without taking more time, but I didn't know if I'd have it. I expected Rhodes to hide or flinch or turn his body away, but he didn't. I aimed the lens at his left eye, the one that always squinted slightly when I knew he was thinking about something he wouldn't speak out loud. Glancing at the photo on the camera screen, I smiled and then showed it to Rhodes. How's this for looking a little closer? Rhodes smirked, his eyes hard on the photo as if it was the only one he'd ever been in. For all I knew, it very well could have been. Slowly, I slipped my hand into his and pressed my index finger hard to the inside of his wrist. I felt his heart pulsing through the vein, hard and steady, but nowhere near as fast as mine. He moved his own finger to mirror mine, and we were connected, hand to hand, heart to heart, and I'd never felt closer to anyone in my entire life. Rhodes wrapped his index finger around my wrist to join the rest of his fingers, and he gripped tight, pulling me into him and closing the distance between us. His lips found mine in a mixture of passion and need. I moaned instinctively, which only made Rhodes kiss me harder. I could sense him holding back. His hands gripped me hard and I winced, though not from pain, from the shocking pleasure of it all. Still, a small wrinkle formed where his brows met, and he kissed me softer, taking his time. When my hand slipped under his shirt and fingered the hem of his boxers, he growled, lifting me hastily from the couch. I wrapped my legs around him and it felt natural, like I wasn't as heavy as I knew I was. He held me as if I was just a dainty doll, but he eyed me as if I were a vixen. He wanted me. I could feel it pouring out of every inch of his body, and I'd never experienced a power rush quite so strong. He threw me onto the bed when we reached his room, quickly pulling off my tight jeans as I maneuvered out of my shirt. My heart kicked against my ribs in an unsteady rhythm as I stripped for the second time in front of Rhodes. The first time I'd felt self-conscious and unsure, but this time my need to be skin on skin with Rhodes outweighed my embarrassment. For a moment, I let myself believe I was beautiful, just like he'd said. Rhodes fell down on top of me, bracing himself on his elbows. My fingers found the hard muscles of his biceps, and I gripped them tight, holding on for dear life. He lifted me just enough to unsnap my bra and toss it to the side, and then his mouth was on my breast, sucking hard, awakening every sleeping cell in my body. I bit my lip, soft moans escaping through the slight opening of my mouth.
Rhodes trailed his rough hand down my skin, leaving an electric fire in its wake until he found my center. He didn't even bother removing my panties. He swiftly moved them to the side, and before my brain could process what was happening, he slid two fingers inside me. I cried out, the intense pleasure surrounding me.
"Christ,"
Rhodes muttered, and I wasn't sure if it was a curse or a prayer. He removed his fingers slowly before re-entering them once more. His arms were tense, and I felt him focusing on his breaths. He was restraining himself, touching me gently as if he was afraid he'd break me. It was a slow build, and I wriggled beneath his hand, asking him without words for him to move faster, harder, deeper. He would give in, give me what I want, and then pull the reins back once more. Cupping his hand around me, his palm massaged my clit each time his finger slid inside, the combination stirring an energy deep inside of me. I pulled my lips between my teeth and bit down harder, stifling my moans. Each time I released them, Rhodes would catch them with his own lips. They were plumping, swelling from the pressure and the pleasure. My cheeks were on fire as I squirmed, holding my breath. There was something slowly coming together inside of me. It was a cool fire, and I reached for it as much as I cowered away.
"It's okay. Let me know you like it, Natalie,"
he breathed, slowing his movements. I felt every inch of his long fingers as he slid them in and then withdrew them. He was steady, calculated, the perfect equation for impossible satisfaction.
"You can moan or scream."
His words trailed off and he sucked my nipple hard.
"Or say my name."
I moaned, arching into him. His erection was pressed against my inner thigh and I desperately wanted him inside me, but I knew that wasn't his intention. He wanted me to come apart at the touch of his fingers, and I was only moments away.
"Let it out,"
he demanded, this time a bit louder. His hand moved faster, his fingers hitting a spot inside me I'd never known existed. I moaned a little louder, but it wasn't good enough. Rhodes flexed his hips, lighting my insides on fire. I groaned, but again, I knew he wanted more. He removed his fingers long enough to make quick work of my panties, and then I was completely naked on his bed. He still had every stitch of his clothing on, but I was fully exposed, spread out, panting, kneading. Rhodes' eyes devoured me, breath hitting his chest like a fist. It was a constant battle. He would take me hard one moment and pull back the next. I was the elixir for everlasting life, and he wanted to drink me slowly and yet consume me quickly and all at once. I felt his own need radiating like heat from his body, but he subdued it with each breath. Hooking his hands around my hips, Rhodes yanked me to the end of the bed and then stopped himself, dropping to his knees slowly and finding my eyes with his own before sliding two fingers inside me once more. His teeth raked over the flesh of his bottom lip when I moaned, and slowly, with restraint, he lowered his mouth to my clit. Oh my God. As soon as his hot mouth surrounded my sensitive skin, I moaned uncontrollably. Each flick of his tongue mixed with the pressure of his fingers inside me in a deadly dance. My moans turned to screams, and though I gripped the sheets and tried to hold on, I flew off the edge, losing every ounce of balance left in my already unsteady world. It was like a wave, slow and steady at first, and then crashing down on me all at once. I was drowning, suffocating, fighting for air as the electric current ripped through me. I didn't just scream Rhodes' name. I moaned it and cried it and offered it up to the gods as an excuse for the sin I knew I'd never let go. When the sensation passed, my legs fell lax against the sheets, and I closed my eyes tight. I had no idea what I'd sounded like to Rhodes, but my cheeks blushed from the embarrassment the moment the unbridled passion faded. He kissed up my body slowly, taking his time, leaving no inch of skin to feel jealous of another. When his lips found mine again, he kissed me slower, softer, and his eyes were open, fixed on mine.
"That was incredibly sexy."
I shook my head. Words were lost. I was lost. Rhodes' eyes widened and he pulled back, propping himself up on one elbow.
"Wait."
He said the word tentatively, brushing a strand of my fallen hair from my face.
"Was that your first orgasm?"
Is that what that was? He laughed a little at my reaction, and I blushed harder, covering my face with the sheets. I thought I'd had one before. I thought I knew what it felt like, but that?
That what? Say what you want to say, Bug.
Dropping the sheets, I leaned up to mirror his position. That was the hottest thing I've ever experienced. Rhodes grinned, slowly dragging his teeth over the tender, swollen flesh of his bottom lip. Sliding his hand up my neck until his thumb brushed my jaw, his smile faded.
"You're the first girl I've wanted to take my time with," he whispered, shaking his head. "But then again, I feel like I'm racing against time, like I only have so long to touch you."
I covered his hand resting on my cheek with my own, leaning into him. I didn't know what to say because as much as I wanted to tell him he had all the time in the world, he was somewhat right about what he said earlier. I did feel what he felt, like what we had was fleeting. A soft smile found his lips again when I didn't answer.
"That was nothing, by the way. You have no idea, Natalie."
And maybe I didn't, but I couldn't wait to find out.
Chapter 13. So that's how it was. Rhodes trained me like normal, and he never touched me inappropriately in the gym. We were client and trainer, behaved and natural. He pushed me harder and I fought him less. He smiled more, which made me do the same. Rhodes loved to touch me when we weren't in the gym. He brought me pleasure in ways I'd never experienced before, yet we still hadn't gone all the way. In fact, I had yet to give him a release, which bothered me. When I would try, he would tell me to wait. For what? I didn't know. But I didn't argue. The truth was, I enjoyed his attention. We were practically inseparable, and I was learning more about him every day. He was even opening up about his sister, though those conversations were few and far between. When he let that part of himself be seen, when he opened himself up to me, those were the times I loved the most. With Mason, sex was always rushed. It was sloppy and purposeful. We went until he grunted out a release and collapsed on top of me. I thought that's all sex was, but before Rhodes had even touched me, when he had only heeded me with his gaze, I knew there was more. And God, did Rhodes show me more. I lost the desire to talk to Mason at all. After the way he let me down at the fair, I wasn't even sure who he was anymore. And the more attention I got from Rhodes, the less I cared about the lack of attention I was getting from Mason. Soon his texts became fewer and fewer, he gave up trying to get me to talk to him, and I fell easily into my new reality with Rhodes. But every now and then, Rhodes would slip back into the same person I met at the beginning of the summer. He would shut down, block me out, or be evasive. Sometimes he would have to leave my house to go somewhere or do something, but he never told me what. I questioned him a few times, but he would always change the subject or tell me not to worry, which in turn only made me worry more. I didn't want to suspect another woman, not with the way that he looked at me, but that's where my mind immediately went. Sometimes I could talk myself out of it, but then my mind would go to even darker places, because if it wasn't another woman, what exactly was it? Mostly, I just felt this uncertainty deep in my stomach. Something was off, but he wasn't telling me what. It was just over a week later, at our Sunday weigh-in session, that I knew I was losing him again. Oh no. I stared at the number on the large glass scale in Rhodes' training office, the same one I'd seen the Sunday before, and I felt my stomach sink. This was it. I'd hit my limit. I was failing.
"It happens, Bug,"
Rhodes said, but he seemed distracted as he scribbled something on my file.
"We'll switch up your diet and cardio, see if it helps, and go from there."
"What if it doesn't work?" Rhodes pursed his lips, shaking his head slightly.
"Then we'll figure it out."
"How are you so sure?"
"Because I know what I'm doing. I've trained hundreds of women. This happens to everyone. It's called a plateau."
I flinched when he mentioned how many women he'd trained, because we both know what usually went with that. I shuddered once more when I realized that, technically, I was one of them. But that was a lie, because I knew deep down that I was more to him. Or maybe I just wanted to know that. I longed for that reassurance. That was what both terrified me and gave me hope at the same time. Rhodes wasn't an easy break. I knew there was more of him to discover. But he didn't just treat me like any of the other women in his life. I was determined to help him find his own value. He looked at me as if I were an investment, something he believed in, and I saw the same in him. I feel like I'm failing. Rhodes pinched the bridge of his nose.
Natalie, you've lost 26 pounds in just over a month. Trust me, you're fine.
I could tell I was annoying him, but I couldn't stop myself from talking. Did I do something to upset you?
Other than complain about a problem that isn't a real problem? No.
My mouth popped open. He glanced up from where he was scribbling on his notepad and sighed, tossing it on his desk.
I'm sorry, I just have some shit going on.
I chewed my bottom lip and fought against the urge to reach out to him. Rhodes was adamant about keeping our relationship private, if that's even what you would consider it. Whatever we were, we existed outside of the club. Here, we were just a customer and a service provider. Talk to me about it. Maybe I can help. Rhodes scoffed, and the sound was so harsh I tucked my arms tight across my chest.
Trust me, you can't.
How do you know if you won't tell me? I asked defensively.
Can you just let it go?
He pleaded, his eyes finally meeting mine. They were darker than usual, a green forest with a storm looming.
Please.
Sighing, I nodded, but I didn't feel good about it. I wanted him to talk to me, and that was the first time I realized that what we had, whatever it was on his terms. Crap, I muttered under my breath when I checked my watch. I think I drained the battery again.
Did you leave the voice recorder on?
Silence. He sighed, and I half hoped I could muster a smirk from him, but it didn't happen. Instead, he just dug through the top drawer of the desk and handed me a new battery. We were done talking for the day. Rhodes wrote up suggestions for my meal plan and sent me to do cardio. Then, without another word, he left. I watched the muscles in his back flex as he moved farther away from me. Once he disappeared through the men's locker room door, I frowned. I'd barely cracked him open, and already I was losing him. He was pushing me away, and my heart sank at the thought of what it would mean if he succeeded. Mom and Dale came home from their trip that night. Dale was drunk, or high, or some sort of messed up. It was the first time I'd seen him like that, really seen him like that, and Mom tried, but failed, to hide it. She ushered him to their room quickly when they got home. I was lying on the couch watching Lost, debating on calling Willow. We hadn't seen each other much since she'd returned from orientation, and her going-away party was in less than a week. Truth be told, I'd kind of fallen off the face of the earth. Mom and Dale had been gone, Willow was busy getting ready for school, and I had no other distractions to keep me from Rhodes. Even Mason had left me alone. I heard my parents arguing upstairs, their voices muffled but loud enough that I knew whatever was happening wasn't good. It's not that they hadn't fought before. Every couple had their issues, right? But it seemed more intense that summer, more saturated. When the slam of the door upstairs echoed down through the living room, I paused the television, waiting. Mom snailed down the stairs, her hand lightly brushing the railing, her eyes puffy and swollen and streaked with mascara. Even still, she was beautiful. Mom was always so beautiful. Rhodes had evaded me at the gym earlier, and I knew Mom would try to do the same. Everyone was trying to hide me from something, shield me, but I didn't want to live in a world where everyone knew the truth but me. Mom slunk down onto the couch beside me, and I softly hugged her, resting my chin on her shoulder as we both stared at the paused television. She was done crying, or so it seemed, and I watched the tears dry on her cheeks. After a few moments, I finally spoke. Mom, what's going on with you and Dale? She shook her head. It's nothing, sweetheart. It'll be fine. She patted my leg, and I ground my teeth. Stop that, Mom. Talk to me. What's happening? Mom paused, but I could tell she felt my insistence. I wasn't going to let it go. I don't know, honey. Dale has an addiction. The air in the living room grew heavier, and I felt it weigh in around my ears. What do you mean? Oh, honey, I don't want to talk about this. It's fine. He's okay. We're okay. I promise. She smiled at me, but I found it difficult to swallow. Dale had an addiction? How had I never seen any of the signs? Dale had a few drunken nights, sure. He liked to party. He liked to let loose. But an addiction? I shuddered at the thought. Then I studied my mom closer and wondered what this addiction meant for her. I never once questioned that he could lay a hand on her, but seeing her so upset that summer made me think twice. My mom was strong. She always tried to handle her issues on her own. But would she really keep something like that from me? She sniffed, leaning away from me just an inch. Mom, I know you think you need to be strong for me, but if he's hurting you, you can tell me. We can leave. We can figure this out together. She laughed at that, shaking her head and wiping her nose on a tissue. Oh, stop. You and I both know Dale would never hurt me. She said the words. I almost believed them, but something in her eyes told me she doubted their truth, too. It made my stomach lurch. I love you, I whispered. I didn't say it much to my mom, but I did. I loved her fiercely. She gave up more than I would ever know for me as a child, and I wasn't sure I could ever repay her. Thinking of Rhodes and how easy it was for his parents to just abandon him when they were in a similar situation, I realized how truly lucky I was. I love you too, sweetie. So, she said with a pop, wiping the remaining tears from her face and replacing them with a smile, tell me all about what you've been up to since I've been gone. Though I wanted to ask more questions about her and Dale, I knew that wasn't what Mom wanted, so I humored her. I told her about Willow's program and about the going away party Saturday. I caught her up on the latest developments in Lost, which made her giggle. I filled her in on every stupid, boring detail of my life in the last few weeks. I left out everything about Rhodes. Later that night, Rhodes texted me that he was outside. I didn't ask questions. I just carefully snuck out of the house, nearly running to the end of my street where Rhodes had dropped me that night after the fair. He was leaning against his bike, one foot kicked up on the side, arms crossed, head down, and only the moon revealed that he was there at all. He was almost blended with the darkness. I guess in a way he kind of was darkness, and I was just a tea light candle trying to illuminate him. When I reached him, I slowed my pace, hesitant to get too close. From the way he was acting earlier, I wasn't sure the purpose for his visit. Was he breaking things off? Did we even really have anything to break off? His eyes lifted slowly to mine when I stopped in front of him. Can I take you somewhere? I didn't answer. I simply grabbed the spare helmet from where he'd strewn it across the seat, strapped it on, and straddled the leather. Rhodes climbed on in front of me and sparked the bike to life, and then we were off. We drove for almost an hour, and I could tell we were a ways from Poxton Beach. When he finally slowed, we pulled into a small park, and Rhodes quickly parked before smoothly climbing off the bike and helping me do the same. He held my hand in his as we made our way to the picnic tables beneath a small pavilion. The park didn't have any lights, and in all honesty, it was more worn down than any of the ones I'd ever played at as a child. The dark red paint was chipping off the tables and benches. Two of the swings were missing a chain or a seat, and the jungle gym was in a desperate need of a facelift. I sat on the edge of a picnic table Rhodes led us to, but he remained standing. He stared across the park, his hands tucked into his pocket, his bright eyes wider than I'd ever seen them before. I waited for him to drop the bomb. I could feel it. He was ending it. He was ending us. I wasn't even sure what we were, but I knew with more absolution than I'd ever had in my life that I didn't want it to end. Not yet. Not like this. He blew a breath out of his nose, and that breath lay suspended between us. I held my own, afraid of tainting his, afraid of what that breath meant.
We used to come here every Sunday when we were little.
Rhodes' arms flexed, and he tucked his hands deeper into his pockets.
Our foster parents always had their card games on Sundays, and the house would fill up with strangers, smoke, and booze. So Lana and I would ride our bikes out here. My old house is right up this road.
He said with a nod toward the street we were just driving on. I noted how he called it a house, not a home.
We would play around for a while, but eventually we would always end up on the swings. I tried to swing higher than her, and I always fell on my ass trying.
I smiled, but Rhodes' expression hadn't changed. He licked his lower lip and swallowed, shaking his head. Today is her birthday. His words hit me softer than they should have because I didn't quite understand their magnitude. I'd lost my grandmother when I was really young, but I had no idea what true loss felt like. Staring at his face as his own loss engulfed him, I was sure I'd never want to. Rhodes was opening up to me, and it was such a rare occurrence that I didn't dare interrupt him with my own words. I held the "I'm sorry" between my teeth and let him continue. She would have been 22. She probably would have a boyfriend or a fiancé. She always said she wanted to be a lawyer, the kind that are assigned to foster kids, so maybe she would be graduating this year with her bachelor's. Maybe she'd be applying to law school, or maybe she'd have a couple years left before that. I have no fucking idea because I haven't amounted to a damn thing in my life. I have no concept of school or goals or what it takes to make something of a person. I wanted to pipe up then to tell him he wasn't worthless, but he shook his head to stop me. "And I was a complete dick to you today because I don't know how to handle her being gone," he said, his eyes finally finding mine. His voice didn't break, but I saw how cracked he was beneath the baritone. "And I'm sorry, because you didn't deserve it. You don't deserve any of the shit I give you." I stood then, wrapping my arms around him and planting small kisses on the exposed skin of his arm. He stiffened at first, not returning my embrace, but then finally his arms went slack and his forehead fell down to rest on top of mine. And that's when I realized. If it's her birthday, that means... He nodded against my shoulder bone. "It's my birthday, too." A pang shot through my chest and I held him tighter. "Every year on this day, I'm reminded that I'm still here and she's not. I can't even think of celebrating another year in my life when I can't be sure if hers stopped, or if it stopped." He lifted his head, eyes on mine. "And the worst part is, I may never know which it is." "I know," I whispered, pulling him in closer, just barely touching my forehead to his. "I'm here, Rhodes. I'm right here." He breathed in once, let the air out, and then he kissed me. He leaned back, sitting on the table and pulling me to straddle him. My legs fell on either side of him, my feet resting on the bench seats and my core pressed firmly against him. Rhodes gripped my hips and I fisted my hands in his shirt, returning the urgency, letting him feel the need. He bucked his hips to meet mine and the friction evoked a guttural moan from my lips. I tried with every kiss to erase the crease in his brow, but I never succeeded. Rhodes kissed me and touched me and brought me to the edge of desire with all of our clothes still intact on a frail, beaten-down picnic table, all the while with a pained expression on his face. He touched me as if it hurt. He kissed me as if it were the last time. And somewhere inside my heart, I felt the demise too.
Chapter 14. Dale apologized to me as I cooked an egg white omelet the next morning. His dark eyes were framed by even darker circles, and his black hair fell greasily onto his face. He looked like shit, and in a way I hoped he felt like it too. He wanted to make up for the night before, even though it was really Mom he should be apologizing to, so he asked if he could take me shopping. He'd noticed my clothes were fitting loosely with all the weight I'd lost, and he wanted me to have something perfect to wear to Willow's party on Saturday. Though I wanted to be mad at him, Mom seemed to have already forgiven him, and I loved him enough to want to be able to do the same. Plus, I really did want to look good for Willow's party. It would be the first time Mason and everyone else had seen me since the fair, and I was anxious to see their reactions. Nervous, but curious still. It wasn't that I wanted Mason back anymore, because I didn't. But I still wanted him to see that I was doing it. I was changing my lifestyle. For me, not for him. Realizing her party was so near, I invited Willow to tag along with us. I missed my best friend, and soon she'd be far enough away that I wouldn't be able to cure missing her with just a phone call and a trip to the mall. I wanted to take advantage of it as much as I could. "I can't believe you waited until now to tell me all this," Willow whisper yelled at me in the dressing room of a chic little dress boutique. I'd just filled her in on the road situation that developed quickly in her absence, and she was pretty much losing her mind. "I mean, honestly," she added, pulling her small breasts to rest higher in the bright pink dress she was trying on. "This is insane. You and Rhodes. Do you hear how weird that sounds?"
She paused. Does he even have a first name? I only know him as Rhodes. I giggled. Actually, I don't know. I only know him as Rhodes, too. I made a mental note to ask him about that later. And trust me, it may seem that way, but it's not as strange as you're making it out to be. We kind of fit. We balance each other. So are you dating him now? She quirked a brow. No, not exactly. What exactly does not exactly mean? It means I don't know what we are. We're having fun, I guess. Willow groaned, whipping around and motioning for me to undo her zipper. Don't, Nat. Don't let him play that kind of game with you. If y'all don't title it or give it some sort of definition, one of you is going to end up hurt. She turned to face me once the zipper hit her lower back, shimmying out of the soft fabric. My bet is on you. Yeah, I get it, I said, sighing. Stop mothering me now and let me tell you about the mind-blowing orgasms. I blushed at my own words and Willow's mouth popped open. Braiding her long dark hair to the side as we exited the dressing room, she gushed. Spare no details, woman. I want them all. When Dale wasn't around, we talked about Rhodes, which was more therapeutic than I thought. I hadn't told anyone about him, and telling Willow what I'd been experiencing with him made it all feel real. She also made me talk about Mason, which solidified that I really didn't have a desire to be back with him again. Still, she and I both wondered what it would be like for me the next time I saw him face to face, which would be at her party that weekend. We found my outfit for the party almost 3 hours into our shopping trip. Surprisingly, Dale was patient with us the entire day, and he only pumped me full of encouraging praises each time I tried on something new. With every passing minute, I forgave him more, and I realized I wasn't in any position to judge him when I had my own issues to deal with. After we dropped Willow off at her place, Dale turned down the radio in the vet. It was a hot day and the top was down, but the air was dry, and I knew that would fade the deeper we got into summer. Eventually, the air would be so sticky it would be hard to breathe.
I know I apologize this morning, but I wanted to say I'm sorry again. It can't be easy seeing your mother cry, and I hate that I'm the reason behind her tears.
I listened to him intently, my hands folded in my lap, but his eyes remained on the road.
I battle with a lot of inner addictions, Natalie, but I'm not a fiend. I have myself under control, and I'm working on handling the small parts of myself I may not have mastered yet. I think we all have demons, don't you?
He turned to me then, and his dark eyes were so sad, so torn, that I knew what happened the night before was wearing down on him. I smiled, grabbing his hand with my own. It's all good, Dale. I know you love my mom, and she loves you. I'm sure you two will work out whatever is happening between you. Dale squeezed my hand once and I pulled away, looking out my window. I thought maybe Dale would say more, but he just reached to turn the volume up again. Before he did, I thanked him for the day out of the house, for the new clothes, and for his honesty. He smiled, swallowed, and gave a curt nod. There were still so many questions in my head. For Rhodes, for my parents, for life in general. But at the same time, I felt like I was finally finding some sort of footing. My body was changing, and it seemed it was morphing my mind, my goals, my expectations, and so much more right along with it. I didn't know where the summer would end, but in that moment, I didn't care. With the sun on my skin and the wind in my hair, I felt alive, adventurous, free, and maybe confident, too, even if just a little. I missed my training session with Rhodes the day of the shopping trip, so I went for a long run instead. Running was becoming a sort of release for me. I would click on the voice recorder on my watch from time to time to talk through some of my struggles or just jot down random things I wanted to remember later. And I was getting better at remembering to turn it off at the end, though I wasn't sure I wouldn't drain another battery or two. Rhodes canceled our session on Tuesday, and his texts were few and far between. By the end of Wednesday, my day off, they had pretty much diminished altogether. Suddenly, the happiness I felt earlier in the week had faded right along with them. When I parked the Rover in front of the club on Thursday, I had to give myself a pep talk to walk inside. I wanted to believe it would all be okay, but I knew better. My first clue should have been the dark storm clouds rolling in. I didn't think much of them, though, just pulled my light jacket tighter around me as I hustled inside. Three strikingly gorgeous women walking out of the training room caused me to slow my steps. They were all laughing, and the pack leader, a tall brunette with long legs and a nose job, clearly had the amusing story responsible for their giggles. "It's kind of fun pushing his buttons," she said in a voice too nasally for my taste. "I mean, honestly, you must know that his services are all he's good for." I kept my eyes down, adjusting my bag on my shoulder, but I slowed down even more to catch the next part of the conversation. "I will say, for Poxton Beach trash, he definitely has more than a few talents hidden underneath that scowl of his." They all giggled at that, and my fist tightened around the strap I was holding fast to. I knocked into the woman a little harder than necessary as I passed her, and she stumbled a bit. "Excuse you," she scoffed before returning to her posse. I kept walking, and she kept being a bitch. "It's kind of a shame. He'll never be more than a good lay, but I guess there are worse things to be." Those were the last words I heard before I stepped into the training room the women had just left. I didn't have to look hard to find Rhodes. He was sprinting on the treadmill, its unsteady tracks rocking each time his feet made contact. He stared straight ahead, his mouth pursed, his face hard, and my heart squeezed. I had no idea what Mrs. Nosejob said to him, but if his strange jade eyes were really the windows to his soul, I could see how badly they'd bruised him. He already felt like he was nothing, and these women knew exactly what to say to him to keep those thoughts in place. "Hey," I said timidly, dropping my bag to the ground in front of his machine. He continued running, keeping his eyes trained on the window ahead of him, but he slowed his pace. "Ready to train?" It's as if those words snapped him out of his daze. "Yep." The word popped off his lips and he dropped down next to me, motioning to where he'd just been. "Hop up, we're starting with cardio." I tried not to analyze it, but Rhodes remained quiet throughout the entire training session. I wanted him to apologize again, to say I didn't deserve his silent treatment, to say it wasn't my fault. But he didn't. After 2 hours and one of the most grueling sessions we'd had yet, I attempted to break through. "Are you busy Saturday night?"
"Probably." I stuttered at his bluntness, but tried to swallow the embarrassment.
"Oh, well, it's Willow's going away party. I was sort of hoping you would come with me."
"No."
"No?" I asked, but Rhodes just grabbed his water bottle and took off in the opposite direction. "Why not?"
"Because I might have plans."
"Might? You won't make plans with me, or..." I trailed off. What was I to him? "You won't make plans with me because you might have plans?"
"Damn it, Natalie,"
Rhodes huffed, looking around at who might be listening. We were the only ones in the training room, so I dared him to try to make that an excuse.
"I'm not going to your friend's party, or any dates for that matter."
I wouldn't exactly have classified Willow's party as a date, but hearing him say that derailed my thoughts. "Why not?"
"Because you're my client."
"That's it?" I asked, my voice breaking. I could feel my heart close on its heels. We're back to this again? He didn't answer, and his silence fueled my anger. "Really? Huh, well, I guess you just decided to toss in your extra services free of charge then, right? So gracious." I regretted the words as soon as they left my mouth, but my pride wouldn't let me take them back. Rhodes stopped mid-stride. He was walking away from me, but my comment had cut that motive short. For a moment, he just stared at me, his eyes hollow and almost questioning. It was like he couldn't believe I'd said that to him, like he wasn't prepared for that hit, not from me. I thought I saw him wince, his mouth opening slightly before he closed it again. Then he smirked, but not in a friendly way. Rhodes smiled in a way that made me want to cower in the furthest corner of the room.
"Yeah, Natalie, I guess so." He shook his head. "You're welcome. I hope I lived up to my reputation."
I sighed. "Rhodes," I started, feeling like a fool, but my apology was cut short. One of the women who'd been in the pack earlier sidled up to Rhodes. His eyes had intensified to an almost neon green, and they remained fixed on me as he threw his arm around her shoulder. "Ew," the small blonde said, swatting at him playfully. She was the shortest of the group I'd seen earlier, but by far the prettiest. "You're all sweaty." She laughed a little before appraising me, her smile faltering just slightly. "Who's this?"
"This is Natalie. She's a client."
He said the words so harshly as if they were the nails to drive his point home. His eyes were wild. They mirrored my heart rate.
And we just finished up. See you tomorrow.
He asked me the question, but we both knew he didn't expect a response.